Be'ezus Hashem, today we are starting a series on a topic that touches so many of our families, the Shidduch crisis. In this series, we're going to take a look at what the crisis actually is, and what's causing the crisis, and why it's so challenging. But I don't just want to describe the problem, I want to talk about what we can actually do. I'm going to share with you 10 practical, meaningful things that we as parents can do to help our children navigate the Shidduch process with more clarity and more confidence and menuchas ha-nefesh. This is not about magic fixes. It's not about pointing fingers. It's about giving ourselves tools and perspectives and real actions that can make a difference. The Shidduch crisis is not just a buzzword. It's real, it's painful, and for too many people, it feels hopeless. And it's having devastating consequences for many families. Someone said, it's not a Shidduch crisis anymore. It's a Shidduch b'kuach nefesh. Singles feel isolated. Parents feel judged. Even siblings are affected. And there are many families sitting home with older singles who haven't gotten a phone call from a shatchan in months. And because no one wants to appear desperate or inferior, they suffer in silence. And that silence doesn't protect them. It only magnifies the pain. Instead of building a network of empathy and support, we've allowed a climate of secrecy to take root, and it's costing us dearly. The good news is, there are solutions. But first, let's discuss what is causing this crisis. Problem number one, the age gap dilemma. Today's Bacharim are waiting longer and longer to enter the Parsha. At 23 or 24, many are still heading to Eretz Yisrael for just one more year, or one more Zman. Some are even stopping in to Karastir or Uman or Lezhensk for a little chizik before they even think about dating. Meanwhile, the girls, mature, ready, emotionally prepared, are stuck. They're waiting for boys who are either still in the freezer or still learning in Eretz Yisrael. Because this cycle keeps on repeating itself every year, there are always more girls in Shidduchim than boys, and the imbalance keeps on growing. We can dance around it, we can try to explain it away, but the hard truth is, if we don't address it, some girls will never get married. This is not drama, it's simple math. Problem number two, the ego epidemic. Now let's say the boys do start dating. Now the second wave of the crisis hits. Extreme pickiness and inflated and unrealistic expectations. And most of the time, it's the parents more than the kids. When a shatran calls, the message might not be explicit, but it's definitely implied. We're searching for the perfect specimen. We're only considering a genius who attended all the right yeshivas or the right seminaries, has great earning potential, wealthy family, good looks, yichus, real estate on three continents, and of course, a warm personality with zero baggage. This hyper-selectiveness means that good solid suggestions are getting rejected out of hand. And because of this inflated expectations, they tell the shatran, he's nice, but not perfect. So it's not for us. Or, she's fine, but she doesn't check off all of the boxes. I think we can do better. And before you know it, that 22-year-old with endless resumes is suddenly 28. And he's still single. And now he's desperate. As they say, time flies when you're rejecting Shidduchim. Problem number three, the resume obsession. Shidduchim have turned into a resume competition. Before a boy or a girl is even considered, we study a piece of paper as if it's the final word on who they are. Every word, every number, their age, height, weight, school history, family background, all the references are scrutinized. It's all laid out there in black and white. And with one quick glance, a human being is reduced to a checklist. Just recently, my wife read a boy to the parents of a 25-year-old girl. And the mother said, I see he attended four yeshivas. I don't like the third one. So it's not for us. She wouldn't even make one phone call. Another mother with a 26-year-old daughter said, one of the boys' names is the same name as one of my husband's names, so it's a non-starter. The shatran tells her, ask your Rav. They don't even call them by the same name. She wouldn't hear of it. Another mother of a 27-year-old boy said, "I see on the resume that the girl is 5'5", and my son is 5'6". We are only considering girls between 5'3 and 5'4". Laughable. Yes, but this is the reality today. People say no to a shidduch for the most ridiculous reasons. They do the daf in a red art scroll. We're more the blue art scroll type. They eat a potato chont on Shabbos. My son is used to beans. We're judging shidduchim based on statistics, on checklists, on whether someone fits neatly into our imaginary box. But the problem is, life doesn't happen on paper. A resume can't tell you about someone's midos, their personality, their ability to handle challenges, their ehrlichkeit, the kindness they show when no one is looking. But because we've elevated the resume to Torah's Moshe, we're making life-changing decisions without ever giving people a real chance. It's like judging a book by its cover. You can glance at the jacket and read the summary, but you'll never truly know the story and the depth and the lessons until you open it up and read it. Problem number four, the image pressure. In today's shidduch world, appearances have taken center stage. And we're not just talking about how the boy or the girl looks. We're talking about how the family looks, which neighborhood they live in, what car they drive, how the house is decorated, what the siblings are doing, even where and how they're making their simchas. Instead of focusing on character and shared values and true compatibility, we're distracted by the PR version of the person and that pressure to look perfect for others. And keeping up with the Joneses can make us overlook truly good matches, chasing an illusion that's only superficial and not genuine. People think their son-in-law is like an estric. They have to bring him to shul, plonk him down on the table, and wait for everyone to gather around and scrutinize him and fawn over him. Wow, he's from that family, the one that's really wealthy, the one that's written up in all of the magazines. Wow, he has yichus. He's a grandson of that Askan. He's a grandson from that Rav. And his father has name brand mechatanim. He learned in this yeshiva, under that Rosh yeshiva. People are often doing shidduchim based on image and how their choice will look to others and what their friends will say about it. It's less about who will be the best fit for their child and more about how impressive it will sound at the kiddush when someone asks, "So who did your daughter marry?" And as a result, excellent solid matches are ignored in favor of something shinier, something flashier, something that makes for good PR. They'll pick style over substance just to enhance their image and impress their so-called friends. I once read a shidduch to the parents of an older girl, and the first question they asked me, "Is he a long-term learner?" And I said, "He wants to learn for 5 years after the wedding." "Then it's not for us. We're only considering 10 years and up." Even if he doesn't actually plan on learning 10 years, they still have to say that they're learning for 10 years. Otherwise, how will it sound when we tell our friends that he's only a 5-year learner? Mind you, these parents have absolutely no means to support him. Talk about keeping up with the Joneses or the Schwartzes. And this completes part one of our series. So we explore the reality of the shidduch crisis and what is causing it. In part two, we'll dive into some practical ideas, each one designed to help us guide our children with wisdom and patience and confidence. The journey has just begun. Stay tuned for part two. Shaddai, Shumayim Zah, V'yotzarech u'atoiv lo nisivtach, V'yotzarech u'atoiv lo nisivtach. Shaddai, Shumayim Zah, Shaddai, Shumayim Zah, V'yotzarech u'atoiv lo nisivtach.